The following edition of the Jocularity Show contains crude humor and sexual references and is intended for mature audiences only. Listener discretion is advised.
Sports can be a real joke, and this is the punchline. It's the Jocularity Show. The train wreck where sports meets comedy head on. Now, here are your hosts, Rick Aaron and David Wilmer.
And welcome to the Jocularity Show. I'm Rick Aaron.
I am Dave Wilmer.
And we are two average white guys with two average white guy names. David Wilmer, Rick Aaron. We both have the two first name things going on. Do you ever get called Wilmer?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. All through school. Grade school, junior high, high school.
I get called Aaron all the time. And sometimes it's a bro thing. Like, you know, like your friends. Hey, Aaron. And sometimes it's just people think that's your first name.
Mm-hmm.
And people come up to me at work. Hey, Aaron, can you sign these forms? I'm like, okay, well, it's Rick. But yeah, sure.
No, not at work. It's Dave at work. It always has been Dave at any of my jobs. But yeah, Wilmer was basically what I went by. Teachers called me Wilmer, friends, everybody.
So today's Jocularity Show is the name game. The funniest, the most unusual, the most head-scratching athlete names ever. And as a sports reporter, I have encountered thousands and thousands of names. And Dave, as a sports fan, I know you have too. Most of them are pretty forgettable. There are people who make a name for themselves, but there are so many John Smiths and Ben Thomases and Bob Johnsons out there that when you see an athlete with a really crazy name, it sticks out. And let's be honest, we're both immature. We laugh at things that sound dirty.
Yeah.
I'll give you an example. You're laughing right now.
Already.
Okay, when I'm watching a soccer game and the announcers talk about a handball.
You giggle?
I start to titter a little bit. And especially when it's a handball in the box.
Oh,
now think about that. Wow. Whenever there's a rugby match on and there's a reference to the hooker, which is a position on a rugby team.
How does one become a hooker on a rugby team?
Well, there's lots of bad decisions and daddy issues, apparently. And in football, you have terms like tight end and naked bootleg. And sometimes the announcers will refer to eight men in the box. And it's funny, right?
Absolutely.
I mean, we're guys. So on this edition of the Jocularity Show, we will talk about things that are real athlete names. None of this is embellished. None of this is made up. You can go on the internet and look it up. These people actually existed and they actually played. And you talk about immature giggling. Don't ever watch weightlifting with me. Because the two major disciplines in that sport are the snatch and the clean and jerk.
My wife pointed that out to me the other day, actually.
What was your wife doing talking about weightlifting?
Because she went to nursing school with a woman that is now a professional weightlifter.
Mm.
And she was telling me about the different names of what they do. And she was giggling as she was telling me. And, of course, I was giggling, and it was funny.
Well, I prefer the snatch. But I will do the clean and jerk. Or vice versa.
I prefer this.
All right. This has gone off the rails already. You have to be careful when you talk about some team nicknames, okay? Because there's some that are just dirty. All right. We've discussed on previous shows teams like the Modesto Nuts.
I love it.
Or the Lansing Lug Nuts.
Perfect.
Or the former minor league hockey team, the Macon Whoopee. And also the current Stanley Cup champions, speaking of hockey. The Chicago Blackhawks. Now, when you're saying that, you have to enunciate very clearly.
Oh, yeah.
The Chicago Blackhawks. Because otherwise, if you say it fast or you say it in a Chicago accent, it sounds like Chicago Blackhawks. Have you ever heard somebody say that? Oh, yeah, I love the Blackhawks.
Yeah, I think I have, to be honest with you.
The Blackhawks won it all, which actually sounds like something you would see down the hall at the United Center in the Bulls locker room. But anyway, the sport of badminton doesn't get enough podcasting love.
Wonder why.
Well, people are probably very shy about saying the term shuttlecock.
I don't even know what a shuttlecock is.
That's the birdie. That's the actual name for the birdie that they hit back and forth.
I call it the thing.
The proper term is the shuttlecock.
Okay, now I know. When I go to Bear Lake in a few weeks and we're going to play this, I will make sure I call it the shuttlecock.
Yes, make sure to pack an extra shuttlecock or two. Well, in New Zealand, they have a national badminton team. The national rugby team down there, they like to wear black uniforms in New Zealand. The New Zealand rugby team is called the All Blacks because they wear, you know, black shorts, black jerseys. The basketball team is called the Tall Blacks. The softball team is called the Black Sox, and their field hockey squads are called the Black Sticks. So a couple of years ago, to generate some publicity, the New Zealand national badminton team started calling themselves the Black Cocks, which is a shuttlecock reference.
Right, shuttlecock.
With the uniform color scheme. And they thought they would get a lot more sponsors. Unfortunately, the only companies that stepped forward to sponsor the Black Cocks were condom companies. And the International Badminton Federation opposed the name, and it was quickly dropped.
Wow.
An embarrassing chapter in the history of New Zealand badminton. And then people will laugh at, you know, college nicknames like the Oregon State Beavers. Right. Okay, that's obvious. The South Carolina Gamecocks. And they like to have some fun with that. You know, go Cocks, and you can't beat our Cocks. The USC Trojans. I went to UCLA, so we made a lot of fun of the Trojans nickname, i.e., a Bruin is forever, but a Trojan is only good once. There's a school in Kentucky called Morehead State.
Love it.
Can't argue with that.
No. Why didn't I go there?
I don't know. I think a lot of us regret lack of Morehead in our lives. And there's a team, Presbyterian College, which is somewhere down in the South. I don't know. South Carolina, maybe? North Carolina, perhaps? They are the Presbyterian Blue Hose.
The Blue Hose.
Which is a reference to their socks. The teams traditionally wore blue socks, so they are the Blue Hose.
Interesting.
Although it sounds like something could be associated with Morehead State. If you altered the spelling of blue. Anyway, getting back to the names. Well, I got to mention one more college nickname.
Uh-oh.
Well, so there's something going on in Rhode Island. I don't know what it is. Rhode Island College, their sports teams are called the Anchormen. And I get it. It's a maritime reference. But in this day and age, you think of an anchorman, you think of Ron Burgundy. And working in the field of TV news, you know, there's nothing scary about an anchorman.
No, nothing.
I mean, you're not going to intimidate your opponents with the image of, you know, a guy in his early 50s reading a teleprompter. But the Rhode Island School of Design, the jokers over there, have adopted the nickname the Nads.
The Nads.
They are officially the Nads, so their students can chant, "Go Nads."
Go Nads.
And to even further this charade, they have come up with a mascot named Scrody.
Scrody.
Scrody is exactly what you think he is, and he is definitely not safe for work. So don't Google the Rhode Island School of Design or Scrody at work. But he has become, like, very popular among the student body, I guess because he's a very popular part of a student body.
He's a big man on campus.
All right, getting to the names. There's these names you hear, and you're just like, what? This can't be real. Let's start in the world of Major League Baseball. Coco Crisp, outfielder for the Oakland A's.
That's a great name.
It's a great name for a cereal.
It's a great cereal as well.
I mean, there's Coco Crispies and then there's Cookie Crisp, but there's no Coco Crisp.
Well, there should be.
Basically, this guy's name is Covelli Lois Crisp. And when he was a kid, his sister and brother said he looked like one of the characters on the Coco Crispies box, so they started calling him Coco. Now, that didn't last long, but he filled out a questionnaire when he was in minor league ball and they said, "Do you have any nicknames?" He said, "Well, yeah, they used to call me Coco," and it stuck. He had his name legally changed on March 5th, 2013. He is now legally Coco Crisp.
Oh, wow. I didn't know that.
Yeah.
That's awesome.
There was a guy back in the early 80s. He played for the Oakland A's. I love this name. Shooty Babbitt.
Shooty Babbitt.
He was a second baseman, and Billy Martin was the manager at the time. Now, Shooty wasn't really good. He hit 256, made his share of errors in his 54 major league games. The famous quote from Martin was, "If you ever see Shooty Babbitt play second base for me again, I want you to shooty me." Here's a guy I remember from the Phillies way back when, Bake McBride. His real name was Arnold Ray McBride, but they started calling him Shake and Bake.
Shake and Bake.
And it stuck. And his all his stats and his baseball cards and everything, he's listed as Bake McBride.
Interesting.
What about a former pitcher for the Minnesota Twins, Boof Bonzer?
I like that name.
Boof Bonzer. He was John Paul Bonzer, but everybody called him Boof. He's now retired. The Braves used to have a catcher named Biff Pokoroba.
That's fun to say.
Biff Pokoroba. Well, back in the day when I was a kid, when they were showing the games on WTCG, even before TBS, which was one of the first cable superstations, Biff Pokoroba was a mainstay behind the plate. And they also had their mascot, which was an Indian who had a teepee out in left field called Chief Nakahoma. So some of those fond memories of my youth were watching Chief Nakahoma cheer on Biff Pokoroba.
I bet that would be a good memory.
My only regret is that John Paul Bonzer was born and came of age as a pitcher after Biff Pokoroba retired. Because if they would have ever formed a battery together, you would have had the Boof to Biff. Boof throwing to Biff?
Boof throwing to Biff.
Is this thing on?
I like that. No, that's a good one.
All right. This is a cool name. Not a great player, but a great name. Razor Shines.
That is a great name.
Played first base for the Montreal Expos for four seasons from 1983 to 85 and in 87. He is currently the manager of the Tulsa Drillers, the AA affiliate of the Dodgers. In 2009, Shines was named by Maxim magazine as having the most badass name of all time.
Wow. Look at him go.
When Razor Shines walks into the room, you know something's about to go on. Sounds like a villain from a movie or something. Okay, Milton Bradley. This guy, besides having the same name as a major game corporation. I mean, the game company's been around forever.
Right, yeah.
Milton Bradley Games.
Yeah.
Man, we were so hard up for entertainment when I was a kid, a board game, and that was like all day long.
And now it's literally a board
game. Exactly, B-O-R-E-D. But Milton Bradley, that's really his name, Milton Obel Bradley Jr. Well, he was a nut. He had several blow-ups on the field. Total head case, played for the Expos, Indians, Dodgers, Athletics, Padres, Rangers, Cubs, and Seattle Mariners. It'd be easier to list the teams he didn't play for.
I liked watching him play.
The sad thing is, he spent time in prison for domestic violence, and his wife, Monique, died at the age of 33 in 2013, and he still has not been charged. He's free, a free man pending an appeal. I guess prosecutors think he had something to do. Well, there was a history of domestic violence mm-hmm. there, and they think that he had something to do. So he has not yet spent a day in jail as of April 2015 and has sole custody of his and Monique's two sons. There was a guy who played minor league ball for the Jackson Mets when I was a kid. And imagine a young Rick Aaron at the ballpark at Smith-Wills Stadium in Jackson, Mississippi, and they say over the PA, "Now batting, number 5, first baseman, Ronald McDonald." Imagine my excitement. I'm like, Ronald McDonald? Are we going to get cheeseburgers? And I'm expecting to see the clown with the red hair come up to the plate, and no, it's just some guy. Imagine my disappointment as I see that it was just a journeyman minor leaguer from the University of Kansas. Drafted by the Mets in the 17th round of the 1977 draft. I looked him up. There were actually three Ronald McDonalds.
Wow.
Who played in the majors or minors at some point.
Any Hamburglars in there?
No grimaces either. Although many people are grimacing as they listen to this show right now. Wonderful, terrific Mons III. Now, how much of an ego do you have to have walking around with the name Wonderful Terrific?
It's not as bad as World Peace.
Meta World Peace. Or World Be Free, which were made up names. Those are not included in the show because those were names that guys gave themselves. But Wonderful Terrific Mons III was a minor league outfielder, played from 93 to 2000, the majority of which was spent in the Atlanta Braves farm system. Also played minor league ball in the Rockies and Reds organizations. The story was from when Mons' grandfather was born. The proud father thought that after having a lot of girls, finally had a son and said it was wonderful, just terrific. And there's quite a sports tradition in the Mons family. Wonder Mons was a former San Francisco 49er. And Mario Mons played for the Bengals and the Dolphins in the NFL.
Wow.
Another baseball player, Steve Schartz, was a pitcher out of Cal State Northridge, drafted by the Phillies in the 85 draft. Not much of a career, bounced around the minors. I looked it up. This is actually true. The Elias Sports Bureau, Steve Schartz has the distinction of being the only player in the major leagues never to have worn white uniform pants.
Oh my goodness.
Think about it. Going back a ways, there was a pitcher way back when in the 1800s named Cannonball Titcomb.
Cannonball.
His real name was Liddell Titcomb, but they gave him the nickname Cannonball. Okay, I'm just very immature, but I always have to, you know, at least snicker a little bit when I would see Homer Bush. Second baseman for the Yankees, Blue Jays, and Marlins. He was on the 98 Yankees World Series champion team. Okay, this one, you have to be careful when you say. As a sports announcer, there are certain names that you really have to take a breath and make sure you say it correctly. This is right. Rusty Kuntz. I had his baseball card when I was a kid. He was a DH and an outfielder, played for the White Sox, Twins, and the Detroit Tigers. He has been a coach, including first base coach of the Kansas City Royals. And they say his name has a similarity to a vulgar phrase. I have no idea what they're talking about.
I don't know either.
But a prank caller got on the air in Kansas City after a big victory recently, and he didn't say his name as Rusty Kuntz. He changed the pronunciation.
He changed it.
He said it four times.
On the air. Live.
On the air. Wow. Before the host finally got wise and cut the guy off.
Four times.
And then another person called in to complain, presumably. But then that guy started saying it wrong, too.
Did the complainer start saying it wrong?
It was a bad day for that station, those hosts, and the FCC in general. Washington Nationals have a pitcher named Doug Fister. Okay. There used to be a pitcher way back when, played for the Yankees and the St. Louis Browns from 1916 to 1928, Urban Shocker.
He was a good player. I've heard a lot about him.
Urban Shocker?
Yeah, I've read about him.
Okay. And also going way back, guy played one major league season with the Boston Braves in 1919, Dizzy Nutter.
I've never heard that one before.
Dizzy Nutter. Okay. I guess the worst one of all was a guy that they called Ugly Johnny Dickshot.
Why did they call him ugly? That's so mean.
He called himself ugly.
He's already got a horrible last name. And then you've got to put ugly in front of it.
He was the self-proclaimed ugliest man in baseball. There are photos of him. He was an outfielder for the Pittsburgh Pirates from 1936 to 1938, played for the Giants in 39, and the Chicago White Sox from 44 to 45, the war years. Nowadays, his name sounds like something a woman would receive on Twitter.
From Trey Burke?
Well, from somebody. Like, oh, I just had to block Ugly Johnny. I got an Ugly Johnny dick shot. All right. There was also, going back even further than the dick shot era,
That's what today's. That's
what the 2010s. Unfortunately, for a lot of people, this is the Dick Shot era.
The 2010s are going to be known.
There is a picture of him, and he's not a good looking guy. Anyway, there used to be a shortstop who played for several teams from 1879 to 1895, Captain Jack Glasscock. Jack Glasscock, born John Wesley Glasscock, was the top player at his position in the 1880s during the barehanded era, which I guess there's no need for a glove if you're using a Glasscock. To me, it sounds like a pirate.
Ye be dealing with the likes of Captain Jack Glasscock.
I wonder, Dave is losing it over there. I'm sure that adult relations with him were a shattering experience. No, it does sound like some kind of a toy, you know?
I'm just going to say it, but I was laughing. So I couldn't.
It comes in a plain brown wrapper from, you know, adamandeve.com. All right. I remember this guy. I'm old enough to remember former Chicago Cubs and Kansas City Royals first baseman, Pete LeCocq.
Pete LeCocq.
He was the son of a celebrity. His dad, Peter Marshall, was the host of the Hollywood Squares.
The game show.
Yeah. Circle Takes the Square. Remember, it's way before your time. But anyway, I think they've revived it a few times.
Whoopi Goldberg was the middle square.
If your name is Peter and your last name is LeCocq, isn't that just redundant? It's kind of like the actor Peter O'Toole. Okay, we got it the first time. No need to say it twice. Actually, I think his name was Ralph. Ralph Pierre LeCocq. Okay, here's another one you got to say very carefully. And I've met this guy. I've interviewed this guy before. Former relief pitcher for the Mariners, Mets, White Sox, and Diamondbacks, J.J. Putz.
J.J. Putz. He was a great player. I liked watching
him. P-U-T-Z. And it looks like Putz.
Putz, yes.
And every time I saw it, it looked to me like, hey, it's J.J. Putz.
J.J. Putz.
But he had to be very careful to say J.J. Putz.
It needs the little dots above the U.
The all-time great name from the world of baseball is a former pitcher and former pitching coach, played for the Red Sox and the Mariners from 1973 to 78, Dick Pohl. Now, you talk about redundancy. Richard Henry Pohl went by the name Dick Pohl. Dick Pohl's most famous moment in the majors probably came on August 5th, 1977, when he surrendered Reggie Jackson's 300th career home run. Before the next season started, I guess during spring training on March 24th, 1979, the Mariners released Dick Pohl.
They released him.
But Dick Pohl was not finished. No, Dick Pohl kept going. Dick Pohl tried a comeback, tried to vault back into the major leagues by playing minor league baseball. Now, unfortunately, or fortunately, he wound up in the Pacific Coast League playing for the Portland Beavers. So Dick Pohl was on the Beavers. And Dick Pohl was a starting pitcher. So you realize what this means, Dave.
What's that, Rick?
It means once every 4 to 5 days, the Beavers inserted Dick Pohl.
That's a lot of times. That,
some people
good.
Would say not enough.
That's right.
But he never made it back to the major leagues. Moving to basketball now. There's not as many good names in basketball as there is in baseball. I don't know if it's the longer history of the sport or what, but a couple that stand out to me. German guy, played for the Mavericks in the mid-80s, also played with the Warriors and the Spurs. Uwe Blob.
I liked him.
You remember Blob?
Yeah, absolutely.
That would be my nickname.
How could you forget Blob?
Uwe Blob. The Mavericks also had a center. You know, guy that played for the Clippers and the Heat, too. Wang Zhiji.
I remember Wang.
Wang Zhiji?
Yeah.
7-foot-1 guy from China?
Yeah, absolutely. I remember him. It's hard to forget Wang.
Journeyman NBA guard, very good player at Gonzaga. In fact, I think he was an All-American one year at Gonzaga. Dan Dickow.
Dan Dickow. Yeah. I like Dan Dickow.
Dan Dickow, he was a good player. He bounced around the NBA, played for the Hawks, Trailblazers, Warriors, Mavericks, Hornets. Or he didn't play for these teams. He was traded to these teams. I'm sure he never even put on the uniform.
I don't even know if he ever did put on the uniform. For
Hornets, that. Celtics, Trailblazers, and New York Knicks. I saw Dan Dickow on ESPN just today at the Spokane 3-on-3 Hoops Fest. Apparently, he has a chain of barbershops in the Spokane, Washington area. Also does some work as a broadcaster on the Pac-12 network and is the co-host of the Dickow and Slim Show on Spokane's ESPN 700 radio with co-host Sean Slim Widmer. There were two brothers who played college hoops. Majestic Map. He was a 1999 McDonald's All-American. Played on the McDonald's All-American team with Carlos Boozer. Majestic Map went to the University of Virginia and got hurt. Finished up his career at Division II West Georgia. His brother, Scientific Map, was a point guard for Florida A&M University. Who can forget God Sham God?
I love God Sham God. That's a great name.
A little pretentious, perhaps, to name your young infant son God?
Maybe he didn't live up to his name. But
especially if your last name happens to be Sham God?
Yeah, absolutely. I love that name. When I worked for the Salt Lake Stingers, the AAA affiliate of the Anaheim Angels, I was the will call manager. And the batting coach at the time came in and left tickets for a guy named God Sham God. And I was like, oh my gosh, he's coming to Salt Lake City? He's like, no, it's just an old friend. It's just a joke. So here's his real name, but the tickets are under God Sham God. Oh. I'm like, oh, I thought I was going to meet him.
Well, here in the state of Utah, he was known as Gosh Sham Gosh.
Sham Gosh.
Sham Gosh played at Providence College and played 20 games with the Washington Wizards in the NBA and went on to play professionally in China, Poland, and Saudi Arabia. There was a guy at Northern Arizona University named Commander King.
Commander
King. How cool is that?
I like that name. That's a good name.
Yeah. He was one of the Lumberjacks' best defenders, won a Big Sky Conference championship in the 99-2000 season. And this guy, Chief Kicking Stallion Sims.
Chief
Kicking Stallion Sims was a professional who played with Alabama State University and the Stetson University Hatters, bounced around in some minor leagues, ended up playing in Mexico. His real name is Grientis Chief Kicking Stallion Sims Jr. So his dad, obviously, was Grientis Chief Kicking Stallion Sims. Which, it sounds like a computer game where you raise your own horse farm. Hey, I'm up to level 57 on Kicking Stallion Sims.
That's an interesting last name.
There's got to be some kind of Native American.
You would think so.
Heritage there, I would guess. Finally, from the world of basketball, it's hard to say this with a straight face. Chubby Cox. Chubby Cox was a shooting guard from Philadelphia. Played for Villanova, then transferred out to the University of San Francisco. Got drafted in the 8th round by the Chicago Bulls in 78. They used to have lots of rounds in the NBA draft.
Yeah.
Now they only have two.
Now they only have two because you only need two.
Yeah.
You don't need 4, 5, 6 rounds. You only need three.
This guy was picked in the 8th round. I think he used to go 10.
Jesus.
But anyway, he played 7 games for the Washington Bullets. Most notable fact about Chubby Cox, other than his name, is his sister, Pam Cox, married former NBA player Joe Bryant. Pam and Joe had a son, named him Kobe Bryant. So Kobe Bryant's uncle is Chubby Cox.
Wow.
And now you know the rest of the story. In hockey, there was a guy named Dick Paradise.
He was probably a fan favorite.
Dick Paradise was a defenseman. Played 144 games in the World Hockey Association for the Minnesota Fighting Saints. A word to the wise. Don't make the same mistake I make. When you look this guy up, make sure you include the word hockey in your Google search. Because if you just type in Dick Paradise, you're going to get an entirely different set of websites. As you can imagine. Or maybe not. Miroslav Satan.
Great hockey name.
Yeah, it was very intimidating when you just saw the name on the back of the jersey because it's spelled S-A-T-A-N.
Exactly.
Well, I got to go up against this guy?
You're screwed.
The evil one? Long career. Played from 92 to 2014 for the Oilers, Sabres, Islanders, Penguins, and the Bruins. And a former goalie from the NHL, also played for a lot of teams, Ron Tugnutt.
Ron Tugnutt was amazing to watch.
He was great in the crease.
Yeah.
And probably holds the NHL record for most in-game adjustments under his pads. Well, it gets hot and sweaty down there, I would imagine. Tugnutt played for the Quebec Nordiques, Edmonton Oilers, Mighty Ducks of Anaheim, Montreal Canadiens, Ottawa Senators, Pittsburgh Penguins, Columbus Blue Jackets, and the Dallas Stars. Okay, women's basketball. Phoenix Mercury currently have a player, 6'4 guard named Dawana Bonner. Make sure you actually include that second N in Bonner.
Right.
It sounds like Juana Mann, the 2002 film about a guy who couldn't make it in the NBA, so he dressed up as a woman and played in the WNBA. Dawana Bonner. Charlotte University had a 6'4 center from Yugoslavia named Ivana Mandic.
Her parents are horrible. Horrible well, parents.
I'm sure in Yugoslavia, you don't have the same connotations. But you come over here to play college basketball in the States, and you're Ivana Mandic. And her photo is still posted online. She was going to have trouble getting one. I'm just saying. She eventually transferred prior to the 2002 season, and she changed her name to Evie Mandic.
Or she only changed her first name?
Mandic. I mean, it's probably one of those, you know, Serbian names that it ends in a C, but it's a C-H. But Seton Hall had a women's basketball player who later became the coach, Phyllis Mangina. What? She retired back in 2010 after a bunch of her players transferred. But Phyllis Mangina was the coach of the Seton Hall Lady Pirates. Now, had they played in the same era, Mandic and Mangina, there is the very real possibility that you could have had a play-by-play announcer saying the words, Ivana Mandic to Phyllis Mangina. If she passed. Okay. To football. In the NFL, the Detroit Lions used to have a guy. I always thought this was a cool name. Not much of a player, but a name that you remember. Kywin Supernaw.
Yeah, that's a great name.
He was from Oklahoma, played at Indiana University, 4 seasons, as I mentioned, with the Lions. Back in the 50s and the 60s, the Colts and the Steelers had a center named Buzz Nutter.
Buzz Nutter.
Any relation to Dizzy Nutter? I guess not. Of course, the all-time Hall of Famer, Chicago Bear, Dick Butkus.
Yes.
When I was a kid, I really thought his name was Dick Butkus.
Dick Butkus.
I didn't know the spelling of it, but I would hear announcers talk about the legendary Dick Butkus. And what you don't even want to like make fun of the guy's name because he was so good and he's such a legend as a football player and as an actor. Been in several TV shows and films. A guy from right here in the state of Utah, from Lehigh, played at Brigham Young University and played for the Boston Patriots, Dick Felt. Come on, Dave. Show some respect for Dick Felt.
I can't believe that BYU let him in.
Is it an honor code violation to have a Dick Felt?
If you're not married.
Okay. Yeah, very good player and recently passed away 3 years ago. There was also a Dick Shiner.
Oh, my goodness.
Dick Shiner played quarterback for 11 NFL teams from 1964. No, excuse me, from 1964 to 1974 in 11 seasons, played for 6 different teams. See, a lot of guys used to be named Richard.
Yeah.
And
apparently.
And it was shortened to Dick. And that's okay. There was nothing wrong with that. But then the slang term came along and kind of ruined it for everybody.
Bastards.
So you just, you don't see as many dicks around as you used to because of the connotation.
Are you upset about that?
No. I mean, hey, whatever. There was a running back for the Cleveland Browns, shared a name with a muscle ointment, Ben Gay. Remember Ben Gay?
Yeah, absolutely.
Played in 2001, was from Spring, Texas. There used to be a Cleveland Browns receiver named Fair Hooker.
Oh, wow.
Which, to me, I think of a very equitable and just prostitute.
It sounds like an oxymoron well, more than anything.
Well, I guess if you get a good service at a reasonable price, you are dealing with a fair hooker. Played college ball for the Arizona State Sun Devils. There was a defensive back named Harry Colon. I don't know how that happens.
I don't know how that happens either.
I would think you need to get checked out.
Is this another one you have to put in football? When you Google, when you Google Harry Colon, so WebMD doesn't come up.
At the age of 50, all men should get scoped for a hairy colon.
That's not a bad idea.
The New England Patriots, before the 1990 season, hired a longtime assistant coach, Rod Rust. Rod Rust, not a very good head coach. Rusty, you might say. I don't know if he had any interaction with Rusty Kuntz. But Rod Rust went 1-15 in his first and only year as an NFL head coach. As I once said on the radio in college, I'm Rick Aaron, and don't let your Rod Rust.
You did not.
I said that. It was campus radio. Nobody was listening. It was kind of like this show. I can say whatever I want. Nobody's listening to it. Okay, in college football, moving right along, Arkansas and the University of Mississippi had a head coach named Houston Nutt, who was kind of a nut.
He was a nut.
As it turned out. When I was a kid, the Nebraska Cornhuskers had a running back named I.M. Hip.
I love it. What a great name.
And I think it was his name and probably his response to a lot of questions. Hey, do you want to play running back? I.M. Hip.
I.M. Hip.
You want to go to Lincoln and play for the Cornhuskers? Yeah, I.M. Hip. You want to get drafted by the Raiders? Go to Oakland? I.M. Hip. I think only lasted one season there. Some names are just too obvious. It's just too on the nose. Okay, Alabama signed a guy named D-Liner.
You have to.
What position do you think he played?
Quarterback.
D-Line.
Oh, the D-Line.
He was a D-Liner named D-Liner.
Wow, that's fantastic. Good for him to actually live up to his name. His parents are probably proud.
He didn't work out in Tuscaloosa, so now he has transferred to Arkansas State. Okay, guess which team Wave Rider played for.
Wave Rider, I'm thinking...
Wave Rider was from Hawaii.
So maybe Hawaii then.
No, he played for Navy.
Oh, the Navy.
Yeah, but voted on a Jeopardy episode as the most appropriate college football name of all time. A guy playing for the Naval Academy named Wave Rider.
No, it's fantastic. What a name and what a fit.
And his brother was also a player, Blaze Rider.
Oh, interesting.
Tennessee had a quarterback. I don't remember him playing much, but he went on to become the Lions quarterback coach, Jim Bob Cooter.
Jim Bob Cooter.
Which he has the distinction of having both a redneck name and a dirty name.
Right. That's like perfect.
I guess he's made a name for himself. We can't forget about former Florida State wide receiver, Crafonzo Thorpe. Because his first four letters of his first name are C-R-A-P.
Do you think he ever went by Crap?
I'm sure people called him Crap for short.
I'm sure a lot of people called him Crap. Do you think his friends did?
I think probably if he had a lot of receptions, they called it a crap game. This one, this defies explanation. Kid who played quarterback at Northeastern Oklahoma and Missouri Southern, his name is Cocaine Mother's Head. Cocaine, K-O-K-I-N, Mother's Head.
That's interesting. What's the story behind that?
He says, it came from my grandfather. His name is Clarence Fugit, but they called him Daddy Coke. We both have the same birthday. He's from Duncan, Oklahoma. My family, I guess, got it from him.
Daddy Coke? What did Grandpa sell?
I mean, it's certainly not a name to sniff at.
No.
Cocaine Mother said. Well, who names their baby Cocaine? And who signs off on that? Can you take an infant home from the hospital?
Cocaine?
You've got to give a baby a name before you can take it home.
Well, at least they were creative on the spelling.
K-O-K-I-N.
Yeah, K-O-K-A-I-N.
He was a good player, except he broke his leg, and he kept sniffing the yard lines. They had to come out and reline the field at halftime because half the yard lines were gone. There was a walk-on tight end at Michigan State University called Kyle Sackrider.
Oh, that's unfortunate.
I'm sure he didn't get made fun of as a child.
No, not at all. Not with Sackrider.
Texas had a wide receiver named B.J. Johnson. Appropriate.
Absolutely.
If you think about it, I guess. And I guess if you like B.J. Johnson, you would really love B.J. Lovett. Also played at Michigan State. And this one, this guy really existed. I have to be careful. This was a kid from Florida, and he played linebacker at Eastern Illinois University. His name, Dave, Lucius Pusey.
Oh, is that how you say it?
Lucius Pusey was a linebacker for the Panthers of Eastern Illinois. Appeared in their media guide with his photo and his name, Lucius Pusey. Now, got more notoriety for his name than his play ever got him. And apparently he got tired of it because somebody told me, hey, Rick, he's not Lucius Pusey anymore. He changed his name to Seymour. And I said, the kid's name is Seymour Pusey? And they said, no. He changed it to his last name.
Is it hyphenated?
So Lucius Seymour. Well, if it was hyphenated, it would be Lucius Seymour Pusey.
That would have been a great name. That's what he should have done. Why did he get rid of Pusey?
A vulgar sentence, more than a linebacker's name. But anyway, all right, a few more for you. The favorite tennis player of 14-year-old boys everywhere, Jack Sock.
Oh, my goodness.
No, he's a 22-year-old from Nebraska, probably one of the best men's singles players out there, Jack Sock.
I'm sure he's great at playing tennis.
Other times, you find him just lying around on the floor. We don't talk enough volleyball on the Jocularity Show.
We don't. I was going to bring this up with you. We need to talk more volleyball.
Well, I'm glad you did, Dave, because the University of Texas used to have an outside hitter who went on to play for Team USA. Her name was Destiny Hooker. Now, what do you have planned for your daughter if you are Mr. and Mrs. Hooker and you give her the name Destiny?
Destiny.
I hope at least she was able to become, a fair hooker.
What if she married Fair Hooker?
A hooker hookup?
Yeah, absolutely.
Well, Fair Hooker played a long time ago.
Well,
would be quite a bit older than Destiny Hooker.
Right, absolutely. But if, like, back in the day, Destiny Hooker met Fair Hooker and...
It was Destiny.
Yeah, absolutely.
There was a Japanese volleyball player named Yoshi Takashita. So yeah, just like it's spelled just like it sounds, T-A-K-E-S-H-I-T-A. Of course, there's a former Olympic swimmer named Misty Hyman.
She was actually really good.
Yeah, which sounds kind of like a female condition. Lorraine just is having a lot of trouble getting pregnant. Well, she has a Misty Hyman. Oh, yeah, for years. Yeah, she's had a Misty Hyman for years. I mean, they might have to adopt. In golf, there's Paula Creamer. Great golfer on the LPGA tour. I hear she's allergic to milk and milk products, though. That would make her a non-dairy creamer. There used to be a figure skater, Arina Slutskaya, which I'm sure in her home country was fine, but I think you might want to alter that for the U.S. audience. There was a speed skater named Wang Ming.
Wang.
From China. Of course, NASCAR is famous for probably a lot of reasons. My favorite athlete name of all time, former driver Dick Trickle.
That's the best athlete name there is.
Now, I think you can take Flomax for that condition now or something.
If he was driving today, Dick Trickle would drive the number 69 Flomax.
I think so.
Absolutely.
It would be a natural. Dick Trickle, still talked about. Think about how many NASCAR drivers are out there. And he had an okay career, not a great career. But everybody still talks about him because of his name.
Absolutely. He was a great guy, too.
Dick Trickle. Yeah, everybody loved Dick Trickle. And the trickle-down effect on people. But here's the sad part about Dick Trickle. And I hate to bring the show down, but Dick Trickle reported his own suicide. Apparently, he was diagnosed with a very painful condition, or came down with a very painful condition that they couldn't diagnose. He went to all these doctors. They didn't know what was wrong with him. They knew it was serious, and they knew it was agonizing for him. So he decided to end it all. And he called 911 and said, yes, I'd like to report a suicide. And they said, well, who committed suicide? And he said, me. He hung up the phone. They dispatched units out to it. They found him slumped over next to his truck, a shotgun by his side.
That is sad.
Man, what a downer. There's just something about reporting it yourself, you know? I guess it's the courteous thing to do. Don't let somebody else find you, like a family member.
Well, I guess he just wanted to be found, and he was found.
I guess.
Flaccid next to his truck.
Yeah. Flaccid. Okay, you had to say, of all the things you had to say, because of his first name, you had to use that word. All right. Anyway, in soccer, there was a guy named Danny Shitu. Yeah, from Nigeria, played for the Queens Park Rangers. People say, really? You're making that up. I shit you not. And there was also a player named Dean Windass.
Dean Windass. That's a great name. If I was to have a soccer jersey or a kit, as the kids call it these days, the back of mine would be Windass.
You'd say Windass on the back of your jersey?
Absolutely.
I mean, people would stay away from you.
God, I hate people anyways.
He played for Bradford City and for Hull City. Who else from the world of soccer?
We've got a David Seaman who played for the Arsenal.
Oh, okay.
He was actually pretty good. He's a coach now. We have Andre Muff of the Swiss national football team.
Okay.
We have a Tokyo sex whale. He's actually not a player, but he's on the FIFA Fair Play Committee.
What?
Sexwale.
Okay. That's maybe he pronounces it different, like sexwale.
Even better. And then,
how much does a Tokyo sex whale cost you these days? If you're over on FIFA, the Ginza, and you've got some yen in your pocket.
It's probably pretty expensive.
Tokyo sex whale?
Yeah, absolutely. There's two more, but I just don't want to say them.
Okay. I think I know maybe what you're getting at here. But let's move along. In track and field, there was a guy named Immaculate Perfection Harris. How would you like to live up to that name? Immaculate Perfection Harris. He was actually a football player, too, and went to Georgia Tech, ran track for them.
He was probably OCD by the time he was two.
He changed his name to iPerfection, or iPerfect. He was fifth in the long jump at the 2003 ACC Outdoor Championships, so I guess he wasn't that perfect. He has a brother named Supreme Justice Harris.
Wow, I like that one.
I guess the opposite of Immaculate Perfection Harris would be a South Korean pole vaulter named Kim Yoo Suk.
That is so sad.
Why are these people so mean to me in the crowd? No, Kim, they're just chanting your name. You suck, you suck, you suck. I've heard his name chanted at baseball games and football games thousands of miles away.
There, a lot of people are fans of him.
I guess so. The Seychelles Islands had an 800-meter runner named Gaylord Silly. Try saying that as an announcer with a straight face. From the world of gymnastics, there was a Canadian gymnast named Karen Cockburn. Could never get dates.
That's so unfortunate.
In college. For I don't know what reason. And there was a Chinese gymnast named Dong Dong. I'll get it. Who's there? Dong Dong. No, I heard the doorbell, but who's there? Dong Dong. I think the same place that you can order a Captain Jack Glasscock, you can order a Dong Dong.
It
comes in a discreet package.
Oh my goodness.
All right, we'll wrap up the name game edition in just a second. Dave, what do you got?
Well, I looked up, I'm a big ping pong fan. I watch it when I can.
Table tennis.
Absolutely.
So did Dong Dong play ping pong?
No, but Wang Likin did play ping pong, and he was pretty good at it.
Wang Likin.
Mm-hmm. Likin.
Oh.
Wang Likin.
Wow.
He was good.
I bet he was.
Likin was good.
He should have gotten a Kentucky Fried Chicken endorsement. That kind
That's
of
a
name.
Great idea.
Okay, a name not from the world of sports, but one of my favorite name stories. A friend of mine worked for the United Way of Southeast Mississippi, and one of his jobs was to process aid applications. You know, people apply for money, you know, food money, rent money, things like that through the United Way. Well, my friend one day comes across an application, and the last name is Davis. The first name is spelled S-H-I-T-H-E-A-D. Think about that. S-H-I-T-H-E-A-D is listed as the first name of a 24-year-old female with two children, listed an address and a phone number. He's thinking, okay, this is obviously a prank because nobody is named Beephead. So, but to do his due diligence, he has to follow up and he has to call the number on the application. A young woman answers the phone and he says, yes, I'm calling from the United Way of Southeast Mississippi. We have an application here. Did someone apply for aid? And she said, yes. Well, can I get your name, please, ma'am? Shethaid. Your full name? Shethaid Davis. And it's a real person named Shethaid. Spelled S-H-I-T-H-E-A-D. And I would say of all the names we've talked about today, the Dick Shots, the Glasscocks, the Wang Lickens, nobody has a worse go of it in this life than Shethaid Davis, somewhere in Southeast Mississippi.
That is unfortunate.
Anyway, if we actually decide to post this show, and if anyone actually decides to listen to it, I'm sure it's the end of our careers. So it's been great being with you here on the Jocularity Show. For the boringly named David Wilbur and our excitingly named executive producer, Sasha Bloom of the Earhole Media Network, I'm plain old Rick Aaron, and we will see you later.
Hey, how about this Jocularity Show?